Would you bow with me and ask the Lord's blessing at this time? Father, as we come to study thy word, to deliver a message from it, we recognize that we need thy help and guidance and strength to be with us. We ask, Father, that you help us to say those things, bring forth those teachings and ideas from thy word that help us all to draw closer to thee, that help us to live more faithful to thee, help us to be better servants in thy kingdom. That would help us to repent of those things that are wrong in our lives and to surrender more fully unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins. Above all, be with us at this time. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. You know, great blessings means great responsibilities rest upon us. More blessings that we have, the more we're blessed with, and usually the more responsibilities that we have. After receiving Christ, which is one of the greatest blessings that we can have, being in Christ brings with it great, wonderful, marvelous blessings beyond measure. But we need to recognize that it brings responsibility with it also. There's a responsibility to follow after and to abide in Christ. Hebrews 3:14 speaks about the fact that we must hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 9:14 speaks about the fact that we have had our consciences purged from dead works to serve the living God. To have our conscience purged means to have it cleansed. Our conscience have been forgiven, cleansed from all the sins we know that we have committed, the guilt of all those sins that weighted down our conscience, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says that's done in order for us to serve. We'll be able to serve then the living God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 speaks about the fact then that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're a chosen people, elect race, royal priesthood, that we should do this. Show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness. We're his people, a people for his own possession. And we are to show forth in the praises of him who called us out of darkness. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 indicates again the responsibility that we have when he speaks about the fact that we are to bear fruit. And in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, he speaks about the fact that I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman, the old King James says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it might bear more fruit. And then on down in verse number 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. What's the word disciple mean? It means a learner, doesn't it? Or a follower. And so there the indication is that if we're to be his follower, learning after him, following him, then we are to bear fruit. Being a Christian then brings responsibilities with us, with it. And tonight, just in a few minutes, I'd like for us to note some of the responsibilities that go with it. First, it means there's the responsibility of sacrifice. All people that have truly followed the Lord Jesus Christ have had to make sacrifices. When Peter and John were there on the seashores, recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, Jesus was there and called them and said to them, come follow me. The record says that they forsook all and followed him. The same likewise with Peter and John, just right there in the next verses, Matthew chapter 4. Peter and John are there also, and he says to them to follow me. And they likewise forsook all and followed him. It says immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Left their business, their fishing business, left their relatives, in order to follow Jesus Christ. That meant a sacrifice to give up those things. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9, Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. He's collecting taxes, a very lucrative position in those days. But again, he left it and followed Jesus Christ. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, as recorded in Luke chapter 18, and to ask what thing he lacked yet, what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, and what he lacked, Jesus told him to go and sell all that he had and distribute it to the poor and come and follow me. But he went away sorrowful. He had much riches. And he was not willing to make that sacrifice. Jesus called upon him to make that sacrifice. Therefore, to follow Jesus means a sacrifice, a sacrificing of self. In fact, he said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would seek to save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. This sacrificing means putting Christ and his claims first in our lives. In Luke chapter 9, there's a record of a certain man who came to Jesus and said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. That's Luke 9, beginning verse number 57. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's letting him know what it's going to cost him, what's involved in following him. It may cost you your homes. It may cost you your relatives. It may cost you your business. Then he said to another, the record says here, Jesus, that is, says to another person, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those that are at my house. Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus here in very drastic terms and very extreme pictures is trying to tell us that it's going to cost to following him, to follow him. He's not telling us not to be concerned for family. He's not telling us that we must not be concerned about providing the physical necessities of life that we need. In fact, we're told if any man provides not for his own, he's worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. He's not telling us to be unconcerned about those things. But he's telling us that following him's going to mean sacrifice. It's going to cost us. We're going to have to give up and surrender something in order to follow him. But along with sacrifice, it's probably going to mean suffering to follow Jesus Christ. Peter, you remember, followed him. And yet Peter was aware that it was going to cost him a great deal to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says to Peter there, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But he says, when you're old, you're going to stretch forth your hands and another is going to gird you and carry you where you do not wish. John explains here, he says this, he spoke signifying by what death he would glorify God. It was going to cost Peter his life, imprisonment perhaps, to follow Jesus. But he was willing to do so. Every follower of Jesus must bear his cross. That rich young ruler that we spoke about was not willing to suffer the loss of all things in order to follow Jesus Christ. We sing a song in this book, number 358, which I think is a very good song that speaks about the fact that Jesus must not bear the cross alone. 358, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till he shall set me free. And then go home, my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, the angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. Now it's going to mean suffering to follow Jesus. Gethsemane, Golgotha, Calvary, the cross, they all have their counterparts in the experiences of us all. You know, I'm not a prophet, but I can see the writing on the wall. When we look at our own nation in which we live, it's not easy to prophesy that if this nation does not turn back to God and reverse the direction in which it's going, it won't be long that Christians will be suffering persecution. Already we see trends of it. But there's going to be more and more. If things do not turn around, our children may suffer physical persecution right here in this nation for being Christians. And I'll go even beyond that. God's not going to let this nation or any other nation stand that becomes so corrupt, which is the trend in this nation today. And if that trend continues on, God's going to destroy this nation. There's going to be suffering in the lives of some of us if this trend continues on. We should be happy, however, to suffer for Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." People cannot be led to Christ. People cannot live a righteous life without standing against Satan and the forces of Satan and the evil about us. There is no other way. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10, Paul says, "Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." When we stand with the forces of righteousness and try to do that which is right and live for Christ, then the forces of evil are going to be opposed to us. Peter says, 1 Peter 3:14, "If you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." But you know, this suffering brings with it glory. As the song just suggested, "O glorious cross, O glorious crown." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so it means glory to follow Jesus Christ also. It means sacrifice. It means suffering. It means that we must take a stand for that which is right and support that which is right. Just to be neutral, we cannot be. Jesus says we're either for him or against him. If we're not gathering, then we're scattering abroad. If we're not working in his kingdom, not trying to reach out to those that are lost, not trying to teach his word and uplift others and exhort others, and we're just neutral about things, then he says we're scattering abroad. But glory is promised to us. It was promised to the apostles that they would have and enjoy many or much more than they gave up. In Luke chapter 18, verses number 18 through 20, Peter there is saying in verse number 18, "Lord, we've left all to follow you." So the Lord says to him, "Surely or truly I say unto you, there is no one who has left houses or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." Suffering or sacrifice and giving up of things will not mean that we will be harmed in any way. It will not be to our detriment, but it will be to our glory. It will mean many more blessings, receive many more many times more in this present time and in the life to come, eternal life. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 12 says, if we suffer or if we endure suffering with him, we shall also reign with him. And you remember to the church at Laodicea, Jesus wrote in Revelation 3 and verse number 21, this was a church that was very lukewarm. In fact, he said, because you're so lukewarm, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just sort of being neutral in the world. He says, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. They were nauseating to the Lord. But down in verse 21 of Revelation chapter 3, he says to them, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit down with me on my throne as my Father, as I have sat down with my Father on his throne. What a blessing, what a glory to be able to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, to reign with him, to be with him throughout all eternity. It will be glory, but we can't be just neutral like that church was. We must stand for that which is right and put forth the effort to serve him. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? Probably nearly everybody here is going to say, well, yes, that's why I'm here. Matter of you, preacher, that's why we're here, because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do followers of the Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, you're probably going to think that's another dumb question. They follow Jesus Christ, don't they? Following him means to go where he went, go to the same type places, do the same type things, teach the same things, do what he did, right? He died for the lost. Are we going to follow? Will we lose our lives for the lost? What are we doing to seek those that are lost? How is our sacrifice? How is our suffering? John 10 and verse 27 finds Jesus saying, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do we hear his voice? Do we follow him? We must follow him in all things. Are you following him to him tonight? If you are not a Christian this night, I exhort you to follow him in repentance of sin, confessing of faith in him, being baptized into him. Just as Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, he set an example for each and every one of us. If you're out of Christ this night and you need to do that, then will you not follow him? If as a Christian you need to turn your life around because maybe you have not really followed him like you should have followed him, the invitation is extended to you. I invite you to come now while we stand and sing.